Hello and welcome to the Mel and Ellen Show. Mel and Ellen come to you live streaming every other Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. And what is it back there? 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We are just having such a great time being here on BBS, being on the air, and sharing this time together and being able to interact with you out there. Today's show is about tarot, and both of us use tarot in our work. Ellen has and does teach classes on tarot, and does a beautiful job. You also wrote a syllabus, didn't you?
I do. I have one. Yes, it's part of my class. And since you brought it up, I'm very quickly going to read this dedication. Yeah. Oops. Hang on. I have a back thing on it. Anyway, my dedication to my workbook says, "This workbook is dedicated to Melanie Thomas, my unique and dynamic friend, a phenomenal psychic, sister, teacher, and mentor. Because of her special insight, 20 years ago, she gave me my first tarot deck. The three of us have been together ever since. Thank you, my dear friend. Without you, none of it would have happened."
Oh, my. I'm fluffily overwhelmed. Thank you so much. You know, you honor me. I love our friendship. We honor each other. But that's a beautiful dedication. I'm very flattered and very honored. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been doing this. Mel gave me my very, very first deck on my birthday, ages and ages ago, more than 20 years now, and just kind of handed it to me and said, "I think you'd really, really like this. And you'd be good at it." And so opened the door, and off I trotted, and here I am. So, yeah, it's an amazing journey.
And I find that so interesting because I don't exactly remember that. So I must have been on some automatic pilot at the time. And that, you know, that is one of the ways our intuition does guide us to when we act on an intuitive prompt, you know, and look at that all these years later where it led. And you're so good at it. So we want to invite you today to ask your questions. What is the tarot? I don't know actually the definition of the word tarot. I think it is, well, that it might be from, no, well, I'm not going to do that. I'll come back to that later if it pops up for me. It is an ancient system. A lot of people think it's about just divination. It's just fortune telling. And of course, it isn't. It isn't the way I use it, and I don't believe it is the way Ellen uses it, because we aren't fortune tellers. But it is a way to use the intuition to tap into growth. I use it a lot. It turns out that it's used a lot in my work for insights into people's current situations. I have a great story recently. I've been working with a 14-year-old boy who's got his hands crossed and his arms crossed, and all the answers to his questions are no, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, well, maybe, I don't know. After about an hour of that, I'm going like, well, I don't think this is going to work. So at our he agreed to do another meeting. And so at our next meeting, I thought, you know what, why not use the tarot and put something between those crossed arms and see what happens. And it was amazing. He opened up like a can of sardines. Is that a very good term? I probably shouldn't use that, should I? But it's amazing. Now he's talking and he's able to do some work. So around the behaviors in his own life. So it can be used in so many ways.
Well, I
would love to have you, because you teach it, I don't. I defer to your authority and your position there. So how about it? Would you come across with some information on the tarot for us today?
You bet. And I love what you just said. Your story is absolutely spot on. I use tarot as a window. And there are very, very, very good tarot readers who read card for card. In the layout as it's laid out, there's a special layout. They read it card for card. I don't do that so much. I use it as a window. I use it as messages. I see it as pictures. However, what you said was so perfect, because I have found in this work, if you just sit down with somebody and start rattling off information, whether it's absolutely 100% correct or not, these folks get really upset, because it's very disconcerting to have your life kind of opened up to a stranger.
Absolutely.
So I have found if you put the cards on the table, it gives them something to look at. And then they're looking at it, and they're focusing on it, they're relaxing, they open themselves up. And you can even point to them and say, see this, this is this, and they kind of go, oh, yeah, and they feel like they're drawn in and they're a part of the reading. It's so important to them to have something to focus on. And I think that's why most psychics use some form of palmistry, handwriting, crystal balls, some kind of focus so that the person is put at ease and feels better. And I think that it's just such a wonderful, I've always said, a picture is worth a thousand words. So if you show somebody the picture, ta-da, they get it. And they walk away remembering what you say.
I totally agree. I like you. I don't have any. I have a really simple turn. I'm a wash and whirl girl, and I didn't ever bother to study the cards. Now I did read Sally Nichols' book Jung and the Tarot, which was it's been years since I read it, but. And it only deals with the major arcana, but it was about the sense of Jung called the major tarot the essence of the archetypes. And so, of course, when you use them, you're going to get the soul's journey into growth, into awareness, into the process of becoming whole. And so I think in that regard, they're a fabulous tool. I also use the herbal deck, and every card has an herb. It's represented by an herb. Every herb has a spiritual value. The herbs for me also give more depth to a reading. It expands it a little bit. And I like you. I'm not stuck when I do a reading on any particular symbol or energy from the card. Different things jump out at different times.
Right. And I think that for the people who've never seen a deck or used a deck, we'll run through it. The 22 major cards are what they call the major cards. They are all about spirit. They're all about messages from spirit. The other part of the deck is cups, swords, wands, and
pentacles.
It's discs or
coins.
Yeah, it depends on who you're talking to. They actually equate to the four decks, or the suits in a deck of cards.
Right.
The hearts, diamonds,
clubs.
Clubs and spades, that's it. And the neat part is that if you had a deck of cards, if you knew your cards well enough, you could actually do a reading from just a plain deck of 52 cards. So it's pretty amazing. But the symbols are so gorgeous, and they cross the boundaries, because if you look at cards, there's numerology, astrology, there's seasonal. Each of the four parts of the deck stand for a season. It's just, there's a wealth of information.
Right.
And certainly if someone was going to do some self-training, using a tarot deck and reading as much as you can gives you tremendous insights to what's going on in your particular situation with your soul.
I find it absolutely remarkable. And we are, we're just, you know, Ellen and I are just sort of like tossing some information, good information, by the way, about the nature of tarot. Its history is really rather obscure. You know, there's not any, it's very ancient. And as Ellen pointed out, the 22 cards of the major arcana, which arcana just means old or ancient. It can also mean old, ancient wisdom. And the minor arcana, which is the forerunner of our traditional playing deck, with the Joker having gone through, which would be the Fool in the traditional deck. So they are full of symbolism. We use them in our work. A lot of people are afraid of them. That's something that would be worth talking about, I'm sure. If you have questions out there about the tarot, what is it? How do we use it? What do certain things mean? The lines are open. You can give us a call toll free at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what your questions are. What are you curious about? What does the tarot mean to you? Have you had a tarot reading? And what did it tell you and what did it do for you? So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Do you find the, I love what you said, Ellen, a minute ago about how they incorporate so much symbolism. I too find myself like if a couple of tens show up right in a row, I mean, there's a numerological, energy to that. There are several places that make me want to look at, the incorporation of the elements, the seasons, all of those things. I like the extra flavor of the herbal element, which can be really pretty amazing. And my deck was a gift to me also. And someone told me once that that's how you should get your tarot cards, is someone gives them to you or gifts them to you. Have you heard that before?
Gee, that's a new one. No. Well, I would think that anybody who started this study would be so completely blessed if the card was given to them as a starter. But I think after that, exploration on your own, because you were saying the herbal deck, I really need to look at that. But they have the medicine cards, and they have the animal cards, and they have, there's so many different decks and cards. And actually, for a while there, it got a little silly. And I stopped looking at it because it was like, please. But for the most part, the really serious readers and teachers who make their own decks are they stay pretty close to the basic truth of the card. And I've used the medicine cards and a lot of times and the animal cards, totems and spirits, and they give you a tremendous insight. Again, pulling nature into what's going on in your life at the time. And I think there's a great value in that, because the more you expand your knowledge, I also read Young and the Tarot. There's so many good books. And it was actually Young and the Tarot that gave me the inspiration to write The Fool's Journey, which we won't go into at this point, but it's a poem about the 22 cards, because it's the journey of the soul. And when you get a reading, you were talking about looking at symbolisms and numerology and stuff. When you get a reading that has a tremendous amount of the 22 major cards in it, and I always let my clients shuffle the deck, hold the deck, put their energy into it, and lay the cards, you know, pick the cards for me to lay out. And so when I look at them, this is what the person's energy brought to them. And if they brought a lot of the high cards, court cards, aces, you've got to look at this reading as a very spiritual message for the soul, high power energy, because these are the big cards in the deck. And so something very major is going on with the person at the time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I also find it really helpful. I think we talked about this last time we were on the air, our last show, but I don't want to know. I don't want anybody to tell me anything. Not with my new clients or even with my current clients, unless they're going through a cycle of change or transition and we know what all the overview stuff is and we want to look at specifics, then I want to know what the specific question is. And it's okay. Absolutely. I mean, people come with a specific question. It's one of the things that I ask. I'm sure that it's one of the things you ask. I will ask a new person or even a returning person, do you have a specific situation or question in mind, or are you just just want to go for that overview? What I find unbelievably awesomely true is that overview, that initial overview, will reveal the dominant energetic situation or circumstance of their life right then and there. And sometimes it's not what they expect. I just had that happen last week. What came up was not what was a new person, and it wasn't what she thought it was going to be. But when she, as it came up and it was turning over, and we were looking at it, discussing it, reading it, it turned out to be exactly what was going on.
Yeah, I had that just a couple of weeks back, and the person just kind of looked at me and said, that isn't why I came today, but that's exactly what's going on in my life. And truthfully, she didn't really want to look at it because it was such a big thing going on, but she actually was figuring if she could solve the little things first, everything would fall into place. But the energy was so tremendous. There it was. There it was. And so she got her answer to the bigger question, which I think is better anyway. To go to spirit and ask for help and get it right off the bat and fool around with it,
Right, I agree. Yeah. I think it's also important to as Ellen said, and there are tarot decks. Wow, I mean, there was it used to be the Rider-Waite and the Crowley deck, I think, were the were the biggies. For decades, and then this whole blossoming took effect with people creating, I think, the Aquarian deck. Certainly I remember the Morgan Greer coming out, and then the Osho's, and wow, it just all took off. You use what's the deck that I use?
I use the Morgan Greer for teaching, but I love the Robinwood deck.
Robinwood deck, yeah, that's a cool deck.
I love it very much. And then there's another one. Actually, I've used them for so long I've forgotten their name. It's terrible. But I teach with the Greer Morgan because it is, or Morgan Greer, it is, it has the simplest pictures. And the back of it is just stars, so there's nothing scary about it.
Right. I have a deck that someone brought me from Japan. It was a gift. And it has, the words are in Japanese, so you don't know. And the artwork, they are amazing art cards, which really have challenging symbolism. And I will use it with some of my students as an exercise, having them read from those cards rather than cards that are going to give them clues. It's a challenge, but it's amazing. And the other cards that I use on a personal level are called the Shapeshifter. It's a really beautiful deck. Has a like some of the decks that were developed has a couple of extra cards, but it's really not for. It's not my working deck. It's not for work. It's deeply structured around that soul's journey. So it's my it's the one I use personally.
Yeah, I use. I have the psychic deck. Okay. I love the medicine cards. And I think it'd be kind of fun to throw this out there since we're talking about our own personal decks of reading. People will always say, well, do you read for yourself? And not so much. And it was making me laugh because you do read for yourself. You use the cards for as much information as you can gather, especially early on when you're first learning. And I remember in the deck always the Ten of Swords. Everybody jumps around when they see the Death card. Oh my God, no, it's not the Death card. Folks, the Ten of Swords card, I have the biggest amount of respect for that card when I see it. it will always have my attention. Because it isn't a bad card. It means that you gotta just be on your toes. There's some real stuff going on in your life. And every time I saw that come up for myself, I'd go, ah, well, it doesn't have to be that bad, you know? And I just go, okay. It just doesn't have to be that bad. And then I get slammed up and go, oh, I really should have paid attention to that. So I don't think that we're always our best readers and teachers. I think sometimes we're better served calling somebody else, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. Well, I mean, a wise practitioner of any art does not treat or read or represent themselves, you know. When we get to big stuff, we need to go outside for that objective look, and you can't get it when you're doing it for yourself. Like you said, you keep putting it aside, going, oh, it's not going to be like that. That's an interesting form of denial, isn't it?
That's it. That's the nail on the head. Yep. The other thing I think that's so important with tarot, too, is that, especially with your herb deck, and I was going to mention that, is that it's, we are not healers in the sense that we're hands-on healers and, you know, that we are outside of the medical community or anything like that. But a lot of times when you're reading for somebody, the pain is what they're dealing with, the heart, whatever, is really a soul thing, a soul sickness. And a lot of times when you're able to use the pictures, you can cut through the chase and say, you know, I really see that there's a lot of pain here, there's been a lot of grief here, there's been this or this, and you can kind of use the cards to bridge them to a better place. And that, those are the pictures that become so important. And they might not have anything to do with what that card means in the deck. And I'm backpedaling to the Ten of Swords because I just realized that just because it comes up, it doesn't also have to mean that something horrible is going to happen. It could also mean that there's grief or pain or sadness or mourning or whatever. And so it's just a huge picture book of the soul. That's, I think, the best way to approach it. And that's what's so important about the reader that you have, is that they respect the picture book rather than sit down and say, da 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 da, this and this and this, by according to what I see is what's happening. Because it doesn't necessarily relate.
I love what you said, respect, and that is hugely important, is to respect not only your own gift, but to respect the tools that you use in your work. And that's so, so important. As well, and of course not least, respect the client, the person that you're reading for, the person that you're working for. And I think that's just hugely, hugely important. We are Mel and Ellen, and this is the Mel and Ellen Show. And we are talking about tarot, and no one has called us with their questions, so we must be entertaining you quite completely. We will open the lines up. We can do it right now. If you have a question about tarot, or if you just have a personal question, this is that time where we open the lines up to give it to you, our listeners, and give you the opportunity to get a mini reading, some insight, some information from us, and it's absolutely free. That's one of the greatest gifts of this modality, this process, is that you can get that information without a fee. Absolutely, no strings attached. Our call-in number is 888-627-6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008. I'm sure there's somebody out there right now that's got a question and they're just kind of hesitating a little bit. So just pick up the call. It's toll-free and give us a call. We're on BBS Radio. This is the Mel and Ellen Show. So, I do use other, I mean, we both use tarot. I think I use that primarily because I'm not an astrologer. Although I find, you know, that's another one that's another one of the sciences. Well, I guess arts now, not a science. It split off and became astronomy. But and then astrology came through. They separated. But I find also that astrology is in the cards too at different times. I mean, it'll just pop up, you know.
Yeah, astrology, numerology, seasons. It's all there, and I think what was so exciting when I first started using tarot and learning it was to find the different modalities pop up and go, oh, look at that. Oh my goodness, there's Virgo and Sagittarius and Aquarius, and then it takes you off into another field and you start exploring that, and then you do numerology, and then it takes you to it takes you back to the Bible, it takes you to the, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I know, Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
Okay. It's all there. It's just, and you start putting the pieces together, and it gets so exciting because there really is this message in the universe that we have the ability to know ourselves and to know our path and to be here in joy no matter what is going on around us. And
thank you. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Melanie.
Hey, welcome to our show. Do you have a question for us?
I had a question. You've done a reading for me and my husband before, but he just made a huge career change in owning his own business, and we're kind of like in a slump right now, so we don't know if we made the right choice financially, or I stay at home with the kids, so he's kind of like the sole provider.
Right. I'm tempted to toss this to my co-host, but I'll dive in, and then I would love to have Ellen's input since you're new to her.
Okay.
We knew that. I think that there would be times when you would reach slow periods. That's the nature of being self-employed. That's why
right.
A lot of people don't do it, because it gets so scary. Having said that, I'm deja vuing. I am now remembering you and your husband and I think a lot of that reading. So the energy that comes up for me right now is that you guys are making slow but very steady progress. Your ship isn't sinking. It's just a little scary right now because it started out pretty well, and then it
right.
slowed. And that's an important thing for people who are self-employed, and I think we covered that then, but just a reminder that when it's really good and you're in that high cycle, you got to make sure you're putting it away for the low cycle, which you're very good at, by the way. And so that's where you are. But the energy overall is that stick with it, because this is just that place in the cycle where you're still moving forward. The boat is still strong. There's no holes. You're not taking on water. You're not going down. You're moving forward. It's just for you in particular. I know that it's to lose that security of a regular paycheck is a hard thing. And
right.
so it is now. But the self-employment has incredible benefits. Some of those you're already beginning to experience. So this is about Michelle trusting the process. So I really appreciate your call, and I'm going to turn you over to Ellen because I would love to hear Ellen's insights also.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, okay. Ellen.
I love Mel's analogy of a ship, because there's always the doldrums. There's always that moment in time where the sail gets empty, and you just wait for that breath of air. And I will say this, take out the paddles and row like a mad person. And I know that
okay.
you are, but that's always a good thing to do. And I don't care if that's you sit at your desk and you drum your fingers and go, and try to figure something out. Sometimes that's the best time to spend, because a new idea will come. So that being said, let me go back here. It feels to me as though in the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks. And if it hasn't already happened, it feels very close. There's a gentleman that is going to be coming with information. He's a very, very energetic man. He has light hair, maybe glasses. Don't think the glasses are full-time. Could be reading glasses. He pulls them up and down on his face a lot. He has very long fingers. I feel like he works in ideas. So he's not like an attorney or a CPA. This is a man with creative ideas, creative energy, and has the ability to give you input to move you forward. I don't think this is someone you've already known. I think this is someone that's coming to you. It will come through a group situation, like a seminar or a meeting of some sort where you go and it's like there's coffee being served and you're all standing around talking. He has light brown hair, so the reddish colors, kind of thin, and I think he's light-eyed. Wears a dark watch band. So watch for him. If he's not already in your life, watch for him to show up because he's going to have information that will jumpstart you again. And I agree with Mel. This is adult. This is not a big deal. It feels like a big deal, but it isn't. And just kind of move the boat around, 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 and you'll pick up the breeze, and then you'll be cutting through the water again. So it's real close. 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, 4 weeks at the most, you'll be nipping right along again.
Okay, great.
Wow, I gotta tell you, I don't, my gifts aren't like yours. Well, no, these are exactly, but I don't get those kinds of descriptions. And I must say, it makes me just a tad bit envious that you can do that.
No, it's, you know, people go, what's in your head or what are you seeing? And I'm going, okay, so the guy's kind of chunky and bald. And then I go, oh, I don't believe I said that. But it's, I mean, I don't know why I... And so using tarot, let me go real quick. When I first heard her voice, the first thing I saw was the King of Wands, which opened the door to this huge description of this man that has all this energy and creative ideas that's going to come into their lives. Now, why I get black watch bands, I have no idea, except that I think that then the person, when they see this person, because there's a lot of people who have been brown, blonde, red hair that you meet. Right. I mean, you know, but if they see all of it and then they see the watch band and they see it start, they go, oh, okay, that's it. And then I'll get people call me back and say, well, he didn't really have glasses, but, and I go, you know, if you're in the ballpark, folks, go for it. You know, I don't take pictures here. Right. So, you know, if we're close, it's good.
Michelle, was that helpful? Are you still there?
No, it was very helpful, yes.
And I'm picking up the energy, and Ellen gave it a timeline that things really start moving in a really not just you know, I like the analogy that's used, the wind in your sails. When your sails fill up, you're flying. You know, the America's Cup is coming. You know how fast those guys can move. So
right.
The energy.
I would love to move that fast.
The energy feels really, really great in that direction. So hang in there.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank you so much for your call.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you. That was Michelle. She got some help from Ellen and I, some insights. And of course, you got to experience the difference in readers. That's one of the other things I'm really liking about the way Mel and Ellen's show is coming together is that Ellen and I are really different the way our gifts are expressed and the way we use them, yet it has the same spiritual foundation. We are connected to spirit, and it has uses our intuition. It's a great demonstration of how intuition gets expressed in different ways. And we would love to help someone else out there who has a question and who's hesitating to call. It's toll free 888-627-6008, BBS Radio. So I really, really am just so, you know, it's like when someone is able to do what you do and I see it every once in a while and I go, I'm not dominantly clairvoyant. I don't see pictures. I'm not a good visualizer. So that part doesn't come for me. And I go, wow, that's so cool. Wish I could do that.
Well, it is and it isn't. And I don't always get that. That's the way this works. Sometimes I don't get a picture at all. But usually when we're doing people, if a person pops up, I usually get a pretty good description, especially when they're close like that. And the timing on it is close. If I can't see a person, they're very, very far off, then I know that that person isn't coming for maybe 3-4 months, you know, but is out there. So, you know, it's just kind of, and that's just the experience of reading, that you begin to understand where the timelines work that way. So it's very exciting. I mean, I love to read for folks. It's fun. But I wanted to say, I was kind of going over some notes while you were talking back there a little bit. Not going over so much, but I ran into a part where, and I wanted to ask you, people sit down at the tarot table and they go, oh my God, I want to know everything, except I don't want you to tell me if you see them.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I do. And I go, yeah, this doesn't happen so often. It really doesn't. It's not. And I was going to say, how many times have you, I mean, I know we do see it, but out of all the thousands of readings you've done at this point, how many times does that really come up?
Wow. Not often.
Right.
And for me personally, the two big times that it came up and stood, three big times in 20 years, well, actually probably a little bit longer than 20 years that it came up for me, it was because the person asked.
Yes, absolutely. That's it.
Their direct question was, okay, you know, this is what's going on for me. Am I going to die? Or in another instance, a couple of young women came and they wanted to know where a brother-in-law was. He'd gone missing. And man, as soon as I saw him, I knew. And I knew that they knew. Nobody knew, you know. I mean,
yes.
He hadn't been found yet. And so, but they came asking about it. I mean, those are the times when it comes up really powerfully for me. Otherwise, it's really rare. Only once has it showed up in somebody's reading, and that was like, I had to be, well, 30 years ago anyway, and it came with one of those prompts that comes when you're doing readings, that it was not information that I was supposed to pass on.
Yes. Yeah. I think what the reason it came up at all now is that it's a reassurance for people, that because people get afraid of us.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't see that kind of stuff. And I know that it's been made such a big deal, you know, for the fortune tellers. Oh, there's dark shadows all around, you know, and all this stuff. We talked about that last time. But it isn't something that we really see. The soul will decide when the soul is going to go. I've seen people in intensive care rally and come around and walk out.
Right.
You know, it isn't for us to stand there and talk about that. And I think that I really just kind of wanted to state that, because it is not really so much a part of what we do. I think the three times I have seen it, I have been asked. And it wasn't for the person that I was reading for. It was for a family member, and they wanted to know how to prepare themselves and their family to move forward.
Right.
And I would always qualify it. It is not my place. If the soul decides to stay, it will. However, if everything goes as it's going, this is what I see. And I just thought I'd bring that up, because it's always such a huge question. I don't want to know anything bad. Well, there really isn't anything bad if you have more information and you can fix it.
It always, for me, goes back to that place where now I live. You live long enough, you get there. Well, maybe you don't, but if you're doing the work you do, that it's really not what goes on the outside ever. It's about what goes on in the inside. It's about the attitude. It's about how you look at things. And we all know that for a fact, because We get up some days and, you know, we can have disaster happen to us and it doesn't shake us to our core. We manage, albeit, you know, with challenges, but we manage. And then other days, it's the same stuff out there, but we aren't coping at all, you know? So, you know, that joke about the attitude adjustment is really true. I did want to go back for just a second to that visualization and descriptions, how you're, you know, the dominant clairvoyance. Maybe you're not dominantly clairvoyant. I'm dominantly clairsentient. So when someone asks me to describe someone, they'll say, can you describe them? And I won't be able to describe them physically, but I will be able to describe some of their character traits and attributes. So for me, it comes, again, you know, differences in the way the intuitive, the way the intuition functions.
Yes, and that's the truth. We've talked about that often. Everybody's gift is different.
Right.
Everybody's gift is as accurate. And that was another thing that you touched on with Michelle. It is universal knowledge. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. I mean, yes, as long as you're talking to a good reader. The information will be the same. It, how they deliver it will be different because everybody has a different form of delivery. But the information is the same. And we've had that happen, you and I, where we both read for somebody and they'll walk away and go, wow, that was the same. But remember that time we did that house party? And you were in one room and I was in the other.
Oh, right, right.
Oh, God. And they kept switching. They'd go to you for reading and they
right.
come for reading. And I'm going, oh, my God. And it just kind of kept going on and on. And I'm thinking, wow, these are a lot of people. And then we realized what they were doing. And what they, instead of seeing one of us and being happy, they were switching leaders to see if we'd tell them the same thing. And we
right.
did.
Right.
Differently, but the same thing.
In different ways. And sometimes with a little added extra information, like the two of us together here. This is like it makes, you know, it fleshes it out and adds more. You get more.
You get more. Double whammy.
Yeah, and this is free, folks. This is free. 888-627-6008. It's free. We're at BBS Radio, Mellon Ellen Show, and we're having such a good time. Something else I'd like to invite our listeners out there to do, you can find our contact information on the profile site, and we'd like to hear from you. What would you like to know about? What kind of a show interests you? I'm going to be actually on an airplane when the show happens next time. I think that's on August 28th, and Ellen will be doing the show, and she will have a guest. You can go to our profile, and you'll see the show for that day will be Helpful Hints from Past Lives. Great show. Ellen's going to have a guest, but please contact us if you have some ideas about what you would like to, what kind of topics, what kind of information, what would you like to hear on the Mel and Ellen Show? Because we're really open to that. You're going to have a special guest on the 28th doing that Helpful Hints from Past Lives. I love that. I can't even listen because I'm going to be on an airplane. So could you tell us a little bit about your guest?
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Barbara. This is Mel and Ellen. How can we help you today? Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Melanie. This is Barbara. I'm calling up because I wanted to get both of your opinions on, you know, I normally see you, Melanie, and I always want to make sure I make right decisions with things, and things seem to happen quickly in my life, and so I'm in a relationship right now, and so I would really like to see if this is something that is going to be long-term. I just want to make sure that I'm involved with somebody that, you know, is good for me, something that... I might have a good future with. I just wanted to get your opinion on my situation.
You got it, Barbara. Thank you for calling in. Because I'm pretty sure, it's hard to remember all your clients, but I'm pretty sure I know who this Barbara is. So I think Ellen should, thank you for calling. So I think Ellen should take this one first, yeah, because I think that would be very beneficial for you and me and us. Okay. Ellen?
Okay, Barbara, I'm going to start here. This man is a very kind man. He doesn't communicate a lot. He's not a chatty Cathy, and he holds himself in reserve.
Right.
He's been very, very badly hurt back maybe 10 years ago. Whatever hit him really hard, but he's done his homework. And he's moved forward. So I think in that case, he's not carrying any baggage. And what I say to you is, he's not broken, don't fix him. And that's the tendency that you have in your relationships. You jump in and try to make them better, happy, whole, whatever. And you don't need to do this. If he's not talking, he's not talking because he doesn't have anything to say. And you don't have to fill up that space. I also want to say that, and please don't misunderstand this, sizzle and bang has always been something that you've gone for. There's this electrical charge, yippee. And this might not be happening so much with this relationship. I don't mean that in a rude way, please. But, some boredom and mundanity is very, very good in some cases. And I think what I'm trying to say is this: you might have overlooked him before, but because you've had so many experiences, you've opened the door to this relationship. So I think that's good. He feels to me as though he has had a health issue with his back or his hip, and I think it's also healing, and you're in a better place there. He's a very gentle man. Again, I think he's a little heavier than you're used to. I don't mean that in a mean way. He's just a little chunkier than you're used to, but that's okay. He's really in good health. It's just, he's healing from whatever happened to him. So I think you're in really, really good shape. It feels a little roller coaster-ish right now because you're just not used to his quietness. Is this making sense to you?
Barbara?
Yeah, it does. It seems that he's not very communicative, and I always want to try and find out what's going on in his head. I mean, because it's really new, but...
Yeah, he's not broken, don't fix it.
Okay.
If you push that button too many times, he's not going to stay. And I'm not being, pushy here, but there's times where people hurt has been so deep.
Right.
And the healing has taken a very long time. That once the person closed the door on that, they don't want to open it again. Not even to the people they love the most. They just carry what they have. So let him keep that to himself and go off in different directions. And I think he'll be. I think he's a very nice man. You should be very happy. Just go slow and don't push him.
How does that fit, Barbara?
Yeah, I'm kind of in him.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the white hat guy that doesn't talk.
He seems like he wears a white hat, but he's very different. Very different.
Yeah. This is not a sizzle and bang, gallop off across the prairie. This is getting the wagon and we'll get there anyway.
One of the things that is always so important, and I'm pretty sure that we've probably discussed this not too long ago, is that I like what you said. I like what Ellen said around, you know, and that's, there's a gender thing there for sure. It's a generalization, but, you know, men generally process internally and women externally. So that's kind of hard. You know, we want to know what's wrong and we want to try and fix it, et cetera, et cetera. That's, again, general gender issues. However, the bedrock bottom line is you're in charge. If it is not, and I you know my deal, the 3 month, 6 month rules. If your needs aren't getting met and things aren't moving, if communication is not moving in a positive direction, if there's not forward movement, if there are behaviors that are dismissive, then it's worth going down the trail for a while. I feel that. I agree with Ellen. But you also have to know what your limitations are and how much you're willing to do and how much you're willing to put up with. Ellen was talking earlier about, you know, the basically the two sides of the coin. Not everybody that wears a white hat is a good guy all the way through and through. And not everybody that wears a black hat is a bad guy through and through. You have an interesting admixture here, but I still think it's worth going down the trail a ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, is I want to give it that opportunity. I always want to know, okay, is this something worth pursuing? Because, you know, on the outside, people can stereotype him, but yet I see this goodness in him that I really want to see where it goes, and I just hope that my feelings are correct, but I always am judgmental of my thoughts.
Just don't try to fix it.
I just always like to
hear. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't take the silence personally. That's one of the most challenging things in any relationship, particularly the intimate relationship by either party. Don't take the silence personally.
Okay. Okay. I won't do that. I won't pry. Okay. Ellen
put it to you. You keep pushing that button, he's going to... You'll drive him away. So,
I kind of got that feeling, and I didn't want to, you know, pry too much.
Exactly.
So. Okay. I appreciate
Chris,
everything.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much. Keep listening to us. Tell
you're welcome.
Thanks.
I'm going to.
Thank
I'll
you.
Do that.
Okay.
Hey, Mel?
Yes.
Real quick, because I just want to give a hi. Both Chris and Elisa are listening today, and I'm very excited. Yeah. So I wanted to say hi, and I love you to both of them, and thank you for tuning in. It makes my day. So I just wanted to say that.
I want to say hi to Chris and Elisa too. Hi.
Yay! So very fun. Chris and Elisa are, just for those people who don't know, Chris is my son and Elisa is my daughter, and I'm very happy and proud to have them with me. So yay for us.
You've been listening to the Mel and Ellen Show, and we are quickly beginning to come to the end of the hour today. And we didn't get back to I want to get back to very quickly before we do go off the air to the next show, which is August 28th, Tuesday, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, and Ellen will be doing the show that day. It's called Helpful Hints from Past Lives, and she is going to have a guest with her. And we didn't get a chance for you to chat a little bit about your guest.
All right. Well, really quick. Her name is Sue Sawyer. She is a master hypnotherapist. She works with past life regressions. She works here in Florida. Wonderful, great sense of humor. does fabulous work, and I actually had a past life regression with Sue, and it was just the most startling experience. And I do past life with tarot, but it's a whole different ball game. So tune in, and you'll hear the different parts of how this works, and meet Sue, wonderful lady, and we have a lot of fun and laugh a lot too. So that makes it good.
Wow, I got goosebumps as you were talking about that. That's going to be an awesome show.
Well, it was Sue when she did her past life with me. Illumination has always been my business name, but part of what she walked me through, I got the image of the sun rather than a candle, and that became my logo for my card, was the sun and all the streamers coming off the sun, and that's what illumination is about, standing in the sun, getting the light.
Isn't that cool that we both use the sun as our logo?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I started that years ago. Yeah. Hey, we're coming to the end of today's show. Ellen and I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the Mel and Ellen Show. You know what's coming up in 2 weeks. Please tune in. It's going to be a very, very exciting show. We are so, so happy to spend this hour with you on Tuesday afternoons. Want to give a special thanks to our guests, Michelle and Barbara, for calling in. And please have an awesome week, an awesome month, and walk in the sun.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Ellen?
Thank you all. Talk to you on the 28th.
Thank you. Bye now.